The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Hey there, Sharks fans. Welcome to a brand new and a special edition of The Undercurrent. I'm Tara Sloan, and I am pleased to join you as always. This week, the San Jose Sharks will host their annual Pride game at SAP Center, as well as their third annual Pride scrimmage, as members of the Sharks staff take on the San Francisco Earthquakes LGBTQ+ hockey team, one of the most wonderful byproducts of my time with the Sharks, now three seasons, I am proud to report. Has been the opportunity to get to know the Earthquakes and one of the Earthquakes' longest-serving players, Kieran Flaherty, or as his friends refer to him, Kiki. Kiki has played with the Quakes for over two decades. He serves as one of the team's most passionate spokespeople. You might have seen Kieran featured on our broadcasts on NBC, on our Shark series Making Waves, but I especially relished the chance to talk to Kiki in this longer format interview for The Undercurrent. To learn about Kiki, the Quakes, and the long-running relationship the Sharks have had with the LGBTQ+ community in the Bay Area, well, just keep on listening.
Hello, my friend.
Hello.
So full disclosure, we are friends.
Absolutely.
And your name is Kieran, but I'm going to call you Kiki.
Please do. All friends do.
All friends do. And I am delighted to have you with me, and especially in advance of everything that's happening this week in San Jose. So we were speaking just before you are about to take the ice with the San Francisco Earthquakes for the now annual Pride scrimmage game. And then after that, the Pride game at SAP Sharks taking on the Minnesota Wild. So let's start with the Pride scrimmage and maybe the history of that. How long have the Sharks been doing this with the Earthquakes?
So thank you very much, Tara, for inviting me. And it's excellent to see you again. So, you know, we like to say about the Sharks that their commitment to us has not only been outstanding, but it's been longstanding. Mm. And, you know, the recent advancements that we've made include the highest levels of leadership, really. I mean, it goes up to the president of Shark Sports, Jonathan Becker, and his senior management team, who've really demonstrated that the Sharks put a lot of their values, not just their marketing, not just their pink washing or something of that nature, but really their values into supporting LGBTQ+ hockey as part of their effort to grow the sport of hockey and increase participation both with fans and players. And so, you know, I think it was probably about 12 years ago when a super excellent, maybe even 15 years ago, when a super excellent community relations manager and team reached out to us. We didn't reach out to them. They found us. And, you know, suggested that we partner on some things. So this was just the latest brainchild. A few years back, we were really struggling with the COVID pandemic, as many were. I know you were in the bubble there for a while yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, the team really had to stop playing. And that was for a good 18 months. And we were playing in other locations as we could, socially distanced and all that sort of thing. But it was a real question whether or not the Earthquakes were going to be able to come back. Mm. And we've been a team since 1998. And so we really, really felt strongly that there needs to be this presence in adult recreational ice hockey. And so when the Sharks reached out to us this last time, they said, you know, what can we do to help you? It wasn't about, oh, let's just do this thing. It was like, what can we do to help you? And frankly, I said, I don't know. We're really struggling. If you could help us with some videos and re-upping our social and doing some stuff like that, And Stephanie said, let me think on it a little bit. And she came up with an event. And that event is Hockey Pride Scrimmage. This is the third annual. This is Hockey Pride Scrimmage 2025 at the Shark Tank, where the San Francisco Earthquakes take the ice against a group of supporters and LGBTQ plus players from the Sharks front office, Sharks employees. And they're called Team Teal. And so this year, we're super fortunate that we get to expand out our format to include not just one scrimmage game, but a round robin of three games because we are including Team Trans. And so
Yay! That's
Team
so
Trans is in,
great.
isn't that great?
Yeah.
Team Trans is an internationally based group of players that identify as trans or non-binary. And we have some trans players on our team, and we have some that play internationally with Team Trans as well. And so we're super happy to bring them into the fold, and the Sharks were really happy to bring them into the fold. So I think that just helps demonstrate their commitment.
Do you have some players jumping ship? Is that what that
We
means?
do.
Have you lost some Earthquakes players for the round robin?
We do with permission.
Yes.
Team Trans, a lot of the players had to travel. And so, they can't make it to everything. And so, for those that don't live in Northern California, there were some that came from far away. And then there's some pretty regular players that aren't able to make it this time. So, we thought just out of an opportunity to make things even better, we would share some of our players with Team Trans since they actually are on Team Trans. And they probably feel like they've been sharing them with us. So, our former captain, Danny Larson, is a trans-identified player for Team Trans, but he lives in Minneapolis now. So,
Okay, so this, like you said, it's the third annual at this point, but the relationship clearly goes way further back than that. We have done some coverage with the Sharks, so letting people know what this Pride scrimmage has looked like. But just take me through the last couple of years. I mean, you had some surprise guests each year.
yeah, we've had surprise guests, and once again, the top levels of leadership from the Sharks turned out. Jonathan Becher has attended before. Last year we were super surprised to have come down to the locker room, and it wasn't planned. I think it was a surprise to the Sharks organization as well. General Manager Mike Greer. And for those of us that have been Sharks fans for a long time, I think a lot of us think of Greerzy as a Buffalo Sabre for certain, absolutely, an American hockey player for sure, Boston U and whatnot. But he was a shark, and he was a power shark for a long time, and knew how to mix it up, and was just a really good, clean, hard player. So I have an autographed puck of his. So I'm clearly a fan long before he became general manager. But just to have him come down to the locker room was really very special. That same year, guest coaching on the bench, we had Ecki and Zed. So that would be two of the members of the Lund line, William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund. And so Ecki and Zed came, coached us, coached Team Teal for a while as well. It was a great surprise. They presented us with autographed sticks. Fantastic. And the year before that, we had Coach Quinn. And that was a huge surprise to us because that was the first year. And there was an expletive or two when I looked over and saw the head coach from the Sharks. I was like, holy, could not believe it. But then after meeting him, I could believe it. It fit. He's a true supporter. So it's just been really, really great to have that kind of support that sends a message broadly beyond the community. And of course, they make a really good video, professionally produced video that we can push out on social and share with friends and family. And then they broadcast it at the Pride game. And it's been quite a hit. So that's been wonderful. Of course, they treat us to some pizza and drinks after the game because that's what hockey players do in adult recreational hockey. And just really make it a special night for us.
Now, this time there's a quick turnaround. Unfortunately, the Sharks are on the road, so I know you won't, no players will show up, but I'm sure you'll have some special guests nonetheless. And then the
We
very,
absolutely will.
yes, you
Yep. And I'm
will.
not going to disclose who they are.
Oh, you even know?
But I might have a little clue on who some might be. But we'll just say that they're from the Sharks organization and they're well known. And we're happy to have them. And my fellow players don't know, and it's a surprise for all three teams Team Teal, Team Trans, and the Earthquake. So stay tuned. We'll be posting on our social on who that special guest is.
Oh,
So
that's so
very
cool.
excited
Okay.
about that. We
When we,
also have
oh.
Kari, we also have another special guest because we've really amplified with the support of the Sharks Foundation. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that because we are recipients of a community assistance grant from the Sharks. So with their help and the Shark Sports and Entertainment help, we were able to collaborate with other organizations. The Queer Chorus of San Francisco is going to come down and sing the national anthem and perform another song between games 2 and 3. And then
Oh.
we were able to really do some outreach to some nonprofit LGBTQ serving organizations in the area, campus-based pride groups, adult recreational hockey teams and other teams, and then queer youth serving organizations as well. So I'm really proud to have an opportunity to have this expanded. SJ Sharkey usually shows up. We'd love it if he did. So looking forward to it.
That's really lovely. I'm so sad I will not be able to be there for people listening who may not know. I'm sort of commuting this year. So I'm based in Toronto, but spending a lot of time in San Jose, but unfortunately not there for this. So you know that I will be there in spirit. And
Well, we're going to miss you this year for sure, and you did an awesome job. And we're confident that they're going to have a good person for an MC this year as well.
absolutely. Okay. And I hope after we stop recording, you're going to tell me who the special guest is. But anyway, I do want to talk about the foundation grant, but let's move to the Pride game, which is happening on the Saturday. Minnesota Wild's in town. First of all, I mean, we've had this discussion before. To some people, Pride games aren't the important thing. The important thing is the 24 seven 365 belief that the Sharks have in supporting this community. But it's really great to see Pride games happen, isn't it?
I absolutely think it's great to see Pride games happen. It's not just because it's my worlds colliding in the best possible way. I was born and raised in the state of hockey, Minnesota. And it's definitely not just a geographic place. It is a state of mind, as the saying implies. And so hockey's been a huge part of my life all along. And, not surprisingly, who I am as a person is a big part of my life as well. And so a gay person and hockey, those two things coming together, symbolism is important. And public, being public is important. Unabashedly proud is important. It sends a signal in so many ways that we can reach young people, that we can reach people really of all faiths and shapes and sizes and ages. To say that there's nothing to fear here. There is love, there is good hard hockey, and the two don't need to be in opposition or clash. They can come together and can come together in a great way. So, that said, I understand how a lot of people feel about what is important, and there needs to be substance and there needs to be action. And I think in past Pride games, one of the things that the Sharks did that I thought was just super effective and it was quite novel is they used all of their social media platforms and their main platform that they used to promote the game and talk about the game and who scored when, et cetera. At a Pride night game, they chose instead to use that platform to provide information about queer youth, about queer hockey players, about the LGBTQ community more broadly, some of the challenges that we've faced, and the great support that we've received in a lot of ways from allies and from within our own community. So I felt like that was really meaningful. And, again, it's that opportunity of, sure, it's just an event. But if you can leverage it for things that might be more informational, more helpful, that's great.
And it's always a hell of a celebration. I mean, I think
Absolutely,
it's
it
just a
is. And
joyous spectacle.
The smiling faces speak volumes, and everybody who participates seems to really enjoy it. Team Teal, and the Earthquakes are a nonprofit just recently, and we have Plus incorporated into our name, not of course just for non-binary or intersex or asexual identified people. But also for folks who may be from the straight community but are underrepresented or had been underrepresented or just felt unwelcome in hockey in the past. And they found a place with our team, the Earthquakes, as well. And we're happy to have them. So.
So the game is it's a Minnesota Wild game, which is just so perfect for you because that's your
It
home
is.
state. And what are you
It
doing at the
is.
game?
So, well, what I am not doing is I'm not wearing my Minnesota Wild Granlund jersey. He was my favorite player when he was with Minnesota. He was my favorite Wild player when he was with Minnesota. And of course, he's one of my favorite players now that he's with the Sharks. I have to say one of because I truly have so many. I'm very excited about the Sharks, and the future is teal and teal together. I can't wait for it. So. But one of the things that I've been honored with, and again, this is my worlds colliding in a way that I never thought possible, is I've been invited by the Sharks to do the ceremonial puck drop at the beginning of the game. So I'm really excited about it.
It is a perfect full circle moment. I love that for you.
It really is. So, very grateful. I've had some hardships that have come through personally in the past year, and the hockey team has been there for me. Just having that opportunity for recreation and community and inspiration and fun from playing hockey, and then having that as a gay person when that's not always what was available to me when I was younger. My late father said to me many, many decades ago when I first came out of the closet, that's how old I am, but said to me many decades ago, I'm not sure I will ever understand this. And I said to him, you don't really have to. You just have to trust me as the person that you know. And recently, before he passed away, my dad, who had come full circle for sure and understood and went beyond just tolerating or supporting, but became an advocate for me and my husband and for, gay folks, lesbian and gay folks. And, when he said, I'm just not sure that I'll ever be able to understand transgender. And I said to him, you don't have to. If you can just live long enough, you'll come around to it on the natural by trusting people to know themselves and to make the right choices for themselves. And if given the opportunity, people will do that and they'll do it honestly, and we'll all be better for it. We'll have a more productive, compassionate, progressive, good society because of it. And unfortunately, my dad was 93 at the time. So he couldn't stay around for as long as it might take. But it's particularly heartwarming to see a pride scrimmage that includes Team Trans, to have trans players on our team, to have the support from the Sharks for Team Trans as well, to have your support and other support from people who work in media and in public lives. We even have a lot of political support. There will be a member of the San Jose City Council, Michael Mulcahy, who is going to do the ceremonial puck drop at the Pride scrimmage on Friday night. So, we're really gratified by all of this. And to those that might find it a little bit hard to understand, I said, just stick around, sit with it for a while, and really just trust us. We're here for the right reasons.
Gosh, I love that so much. Really, you warm my heart so much. You mentioned, having this team support you, this family, really. How did the earthquakes find you? How did you find the earthquakes? What's your story?
It's so great and it's kind of crazy. And it's hard for us to imagine way back to a time before the internet, before cell phones. But the quakes formed in 1998. It was the brainchild of a few recreational sports enthusiasts that identified as gay and lesbian. And they were mostly involved with softball and discovered the gay games. And the Gay Games are a quadrennial sport and cultural festival that's open to all, but focused on LGBTQ plus pride. And the Earthquakes have competed in many, but at the time, back in 1998, we hadn't competed in any. And so these folks knew what the Gay Games were, and they knew what hockey was. And they liked hockey, and they decided they would learn to play hockey and would form a hockey team and go to the Gay Games in Amsterdam.
Oh my
So,
God, I love
as
that.
a lot of the queer community and others know, Amsterdam has a certain appeal for
Yes.
partying and celebration. And ultimately, the Gay Games is a big party and a big celebration of sport and culture. So, it seemed like a perfect fit. But then they needed to learn how to play hockey. So they drove down Interstate 680 and 880 and down Interstate 280 from San Francisco and the East Bay and the Far East Bay to go to San Jose to take skating lessons Saturday mornings at 6 a.m.
Oof.
and put together a team and managed to get to the Gay Games in Amsterdam. And the rest, as we say, is sort of history. I mean, they were the pioneers, but they stuck to it. They joined my team plays, our team plays Thursday nights in San Francisco in the Yerba Buena Ice Hockey League. That's down at the Moscone Center, Yerba Buena Gardens in downtown San Francisco. Come see us, anybody that wants to, Thursday nights. We're there every Thursday night. Games are at 8, 9:30, and 11 every week. So, they did us justice by being out there. It started with classified ads in the Bay Area Reporter and LGBTQ community newspaper in San Francisco. And one of the one of the original founders took out the classified ad and put one of the other founders' name and phone number in it. So it was a little subversive even, but that's how we generated interest way back then. So the team grew from there, and since then we've played in tournaments, gay games particularly in Cologne, Germany, and Chicago, and Vancouver, Cleveland, all over the place. So we've been really fortunate.
And for you and your personal journey with hockey, your relationship with hockey, which, if I recall correctly, is, not a straight line,
No.
that sometimes, hockey doesn't love you back.
Yep.
How have the earthquakes helped you rediscover your love for this game?
Oh, absolutely. So, I played hockey from the time that I was very young, but I was, a very what today or what in what back then rather we would consider to have been a very effeminate child. I was, sort of made fun of for my mannerisms and the way I spoke and the things that interested me. I had an older brother once that pointed out that I was one of the only kids that he ever remember that instead of playing Cowboys and Indians was playing Gone with the Wind and was impersonating Scarlett O'Hara and whoever the guy is, right? So I was different and that didn't go over well in any type of sport. And maybe hockey was even better poised to handle it than some other sports, but nobody was really equipped to be dealing with it in a very positive way. And so I think some folks really did the best they could to be understanding and supportive of me as a kind of different sort of kid. But it wasn't quite enough for me to maintain my interest, and I left playing hockey when I was in 8th grade. Wasn't a great player. Many people aren't. can't all go to the NHL or even the NCAA. So,
Right.
at any rate, I moved to California in 1990 to go to law school. And when I did, I got out here and I thought, you know what? San Francisco has a gay everything. I bet you they've got gay ice hockey. And so it was a while longer that I had the time in my academic and my professional career to carve some time. But I thought, I want to go to the gay games at some point. I've got to find a sport for the gay games. And so it was my goal to play in the gay games in 2002, which was in Sydney, Australia. I'd always wanted to go to Australia. How fantastic would that be? And so that's when I sought out queer hockey and I found the Earthquakes. And the Earthquakes welcomed me. I had my brother's old skates that he gave to me. This is back before Tuke blades, all leather with the exposed blade. I think they were rusted. I had to take some steel wool to them to get them in shape to skate on. I didn't even get a chance to sharpen them. And when I got out on the ice, one of my fellow Earthquakes players, who's a good friend of mine, said that it was like some Hans Christian Andersen stuff going on out there, like skating on the canals back in the old days or something. So it was really, great to be welcomed into that community. I knew I had found a home. The only requirement for membership on the team was to try hard. And I certainly had that. And I've been playing with them ever since.
That's a long time. That's a long time. Is it as is membership growing at this point? I know COVID took a dip, but how do you have, are you overflowing with players
It
now?
is. It is. We specifically identify now as an LGBTQ plus ice hockey club. And that club is significant, just like the plus is significant. And that club means that we aspire to have more than one team. In the past, we actually did have more than one team. We had a team that played at Sharks Ice in Oakland, as well as playing at Yerba Buena in San Francisco. The reason why it's important for us to have more than one team is we really want to serve as a gateway for LGBTQ plus players and fans to discover hockey. And by discovering hockey, that kind of recreation, the community, the fun that it offers, we're hoping just to improve people's lives by providing this safe forum for folks to come together and enjoy hockey. And so what we would like to do is we'd like to have a second team. But to do that, you really need some staying power. And you need people that are willing to organize it and pay for it and play for it and do all that kind of stuff. So we've got a lot of interest. And what we'd like to do is expand soon here into having a second team. And the grant from the Sharks Foundation is going to be helpful to us in doing that. One of the things that's really important is we all got older. As you do. And we weren't really able to attract a next generation or a younger generation. I think for some people, they felt this is the Bay Area, this is San Francisco. What's the big deal? There's broad acceptance of LGBTQ persons and their causes. Maybe this isn't necessary. These are kids who had gay straight alliances when they went to high school. Something that did not exist for your original founding Quakes. And I'm happy for that. And I think that's great. But then they got through college. Some of them even played Division III, or some of them played rec hockey. And they graduated and they thought, maybe hockey isn't something I'll continue to play because it'd be nice to have some other members of my tribe along with me. There's no amount of sort of acceptance and support that really makes up for wanting to be with your comrades in all ways. And then they discovered Team Trans and they discovered the San Francisco Earthquakes. And they found out that as a 23-year-old fresh out of college or a 25-year-old who just relocated to the Bay Area, they did have a way and a place that they could continue playing hockey. Well, we want to make sure that there's a way and a place for people who may not have that high level of skill, or even an intermediate level of skill, and for true beginners. And so that's what we'd like to do is we'd like to start out, adding another team in. We've been open to everyone, and it's I don't want to say it's held us back because we've been able to play in San Francisco and be competitive for many seasons. In the past, we've even won our division, but with recreational sports, it's hard to kind of regulate the level of skill.
Sure.
And so we would like a place where everyone can feel comfortable, our more skilled and our newer players.
Okay, so this does bring us neatly back to the Community Assist Grant from the Sharks Foundation, celebrating their 30th year, by the way. So a
Yes.
real milestone for them. So tell me how this process worked and where and how it's going to be implemented.
So the Sharks for years had been encouraging us to get off the dime, incorporate as a nonprofit, and move into applying for a community assistance grant because they felt like there was a good fit. As you likely know, the Sharks Foundation has focused on underserved youth and their families. That's been a through line of their commitment over 30 years. But they also said that youth doesn't stop when somebody turns 18, right?
Right.
There's a lot of kids in college. There's a lot of kids who haven't had an opportunity to go to college. There's a lot of kids that are looking for, and I use the term kids, not derogatorily or anything, just disparaging anyone of that age group, but just younger folks, right?
Right.
That need some assistance, need some support moving forward. And so they thought we would be a good marriage between ice hockey and support for the Sharks and the Sharks support for that community. And so we proposed to them through a grant application a Hockey with Pride program. The Hockey with Pride program really intends to activate and elevate the work that that the Earthquakes are doing with the Sharks Foundation assistance. So, one of the things that we're looking to do is young adult outreach. We hope to have a charity hockey game where we would be playing one of the newer teams that have interest from some of the folks that would like to join our roster, and we don't have room right now. But they are currently playing at Oakland Ice or at Sharks Ice in San Jose,
Right.
and pull one of those teams together and have a charity event that supports LGBTQ youth serving nonprofit in the area. So we're looking to collaborate there on that. One thing we also noticed is that in the old days, when we first came to the Earthquakes, a lot of adult recreational sports and for gay folks in particular, they formed in bars and clubs. And the drinking age is now 21, and that wasn't always the case. And 21 does exclude adult recreational players who are 18, 19, and 20.
Right.
And we want to make sure that those people have a way of organizing a place. There are just some folks too that prefer not to collaborate in that way. Well, social media has made it a lot easier, so you don't always have to be in a bar league, so to speak, to be involved in adult recreational sports. And we're happy to kind of do some mixers and some skate sessions and some other things for interested players to come out and get to know the sport, but it doesn't necessarily need to be for 21 and older only.
Well, Kiki, I think this community is so lucky to have you, and I'm so grateful to the Sharks and to the Earthquakes for bringing you into my life. But mostly for the incredible outreach you do and the example you set. So, I think you're the bee's knees.
Well, thanks,
That's
Tara.
not to
And
age
then,
myself with a super
no,
anachronistic
I hear
thing.
you, but I will just say that being able so I remember seeing a clip of you that they showed on Hockey Night in Canada.
Right.
So growing up in northern Minnesota, I used to watch it was like a Rogers Hometown Hockey or something along those
Yeah.
lines. And I thought, that is so great. Like, there's a new edge. There's a leading edge of hockey that's going to be better. Hockey is great. More hockey is better. More hockey fans and players is the best. And I can remember seeing you and being inspired by that clip and by that story. And then when you moved down here, I read about your background and the work that you'd done, and I thought, Oh, this is a person I've got to get to know if she's willing. And you absolutely were willing, and you embraced our community and you supported the earthquakes. And we all know it. We all appreciate it. And come down anytime you want.
Well, you know I love hanging out with you. So I will for sure, yes, I'll let you know next time I'm working, which is just at the end of the month. So we're talking
Excellent.
January right now. But I will be, of course, paying close attention to the Pride scrimmage and then the Pride game I'll be watching. So, Kiki, thank you so much for joining me.
You bet. Absolutely, Tara. Thank you.
I so enjoyed that conversation. Kiki, thank you for your time. I am so sad I am not there for the Pride celebrations, but you know I will be there in spirit. Thanks to all of you for listening, and thanks to all of you for being a welcoming community, as I know Sharks fans are. I'll just take this opportunity to say that I am a very, very proud member of Team Teal, of the Sharks community. Really proud to work for this team that does so much great work out in the world. I'll be back in a couple weeks with another episode of The Undercurrent. In the meantime, keep your sticks on the ice and your fins above water.